8. Gottstein said, "I suppose that, however annoying this position of yours may have been, you are getting ready to leave it today with a small pang." Montez shrugged eloquently. "A very large pang, when I think of the return to full gravity. The difficulty of breathing, the aching feet, the perspiration. I'll be in a bath of perspiration constantly. It will be my turn some day. Take my advice. Never stay here longer than 2 months at a time. I don't care what the doctors tell you or what kind of isometric exercises they put you through. Get back to Earth every 60 days and stay at least a week. You've got to keep the feel of it."
"I'll bear that in mind. Oh, I've been in touch with my friend."
"Which friend is that?"
"The man who was on the vessel with me when I came in. I thought I remembered him, and I did. A man named Dennison, a radiochemist. What I remembered of him was accurate enough."
"Ah?"
"I remembered a certain interesting irrationality of his, and tried to probe it. He resisted in quite a shrewd fashion. He sounded rational. So rational, in fact, that I grew suspicious. There's a kind of attractive rationality developed by certain types of crackpots, a kind of defense mechanism."
"Oh, Lord," said Montez, clearly harassed. "I'm not sure I follow you. If you don't mind, I'm going to sit down for a moment. Between trying to determine whether everything is properly packed and thinking about Earth's gravity, I'm out of breath."
"What kind of irrationality?"
"He tried to tell us once that there was danger in the use of the electron pump. He thought it would blow up the universe."
"Indeed? And will it?"
"I hope not. At the time it was dismissed rather brusquely. When scientists work on a subject at the limit of understanding, they grow edgy, you know. I knew a psychiatrist once who called it the who knows phenomenon. If nothing you do will give you the knowledge you need, you end by saying, who knows what will happen? And imagination tells you."
"Yes, but if physicists go around saying such things, even a few of them..."
"They don't. Not officially. There's such a thing as scientific responsibility, and the journals are careful not to print nonsense, or what they consider nonsense. Actually, you know, the subjects come up again. A physicist named Lamont spoke to Senator Burt, to that self-appointed environmental messiah Chen, and to a few others. He also insists on the possibility of cosmic explosion. No one believes him, but the story spreads in a thin sort of way, and gets better with the retelling."
"And this man here on the moon believes it?"
Gottstein smiled broadly. "I suspect he does. Hell, in the middle of the night, when I have trouble sleeping, I keep falling out of bed, by the way, I believe it myself. He probably hopes to test the theory experimentally here."
"Well?"
"Well, let him. I hinted we would help him."
Montez shook his head.
"That's risky. I don't like the official encouragement of crackpot notions."
"You know, it's just barely possible they may not be entirely crackpot. But that's not the point. The point is that if we can get him established here on the moon, we may find out, through him, what's going on here. He's anxious for rehabilitation, and I hinted that rehabilitation would come through us if he cooperated. I'll see to it that you are discreetly kept posted, as between friends, you know."
"Thank you," said Montez, "and goodbye."